So there was an environmental and climate justice from Puerto Rico to Albany event on Saturday, April 13, at the Cultural Empowerment and Community Engagement Center. And we're talking with one of the hosts and chairman, Dan Isarari, who is the chairman of the Capital District Latinos. Dan, maybe you just start off saying a little bit about what your organization is and why you agreed to help with this event.
Well, Capital District Latinos has been around since 2009, approximately, when we or sorry, 2011, when we incorporated as a nonprofit. Our aim is to create the conditions for success in the Latino community, other communities of color as well. And we've been advocating for our community for as long as we've been around. We just recently, when I say recently, a year and a half ago, bought the building that we're currently in, which we have renamed the Cultural Empowerment Community Engagement Center, formerly the St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church. And what we have come to use this place for is as a gathering place for people in the community who have different issues that they are trying to tackle, different groups that need places to meet, and basically community functions.
And so today the forum is on, you know, environmental justice. How does that particularly impact upon, you know, say, the Latino community?
So about a year ago, or it's almost a year since we had a wonderful event here. June 1st is the beginning of hurricane season in the Caribbean. And we brought a traveling troupe of actors from Puerto Rico to the center. And that group of actors basically performed a piece that they had put together in the island of Puerto Rico during the aftermath of the hurricane. And so what that did for us basically was to unite the struggles around climate justice and the community of Albany. Because in Puerto Rico, we really have kind of ground zero in terms of climate justice issues. Not just because of Maria. Maria just was kind of the part that, the straw that broke the camel's back. Actually, a century or more of colonization had really created some serious conditions economically, socially, environmentally on the island. And so we found ourselves connected to that struggle.
And, you know, what are some of the issues you've been working on, you know, locally here in the Capital District, particularly around climate justice or environmental justice issues?
Well, it's not so much that we focused on that piece. We're focused in terms of creating a different environment, so to speak, a social environment for our community. So it is, I think it's all of a piece. We have, for example, been the driving force behind the creation of an opioid treatment clinic across the street, known as Camino Nuevo. And so all of these issues are interconnected. And in the Latino community, especially now during this in this environment of racial animus, we find ourselves a place where people can come to organize around those issues.
Now, most Americans, other than, you know, possibly the president, you know, do know that Puerto Rico is, you know, part of the United States, but certainly very much still suffers, of course, from, you know, basically a colonial status. Do you have any thoughts about what needs to happen in terms of, you know, the continued rebuild of Puerto Rico to help the average person, not the, you know, North American investors for the tourist industry, but also to move, say, to, you know, a real renewable energy system rather than the incredibly expensive, you know, electric system they presently have?
For me, that begins with debt relief. It also begins with a loosening of these strictures on the spending for a disaster. So President Trump has to stop saying that Puerto Rico gets more than anybody, when in fact very little has been actually dispersed to the island. There does need to be some structural changes in terms of the politics in Puerto Rico, but the Puerto Rican people will eventually have to deal with that.
Thank you very much. We're talking with Dan Irizarry, who is the chairman of Capital District Latinos. Next, we talked to Willie White, one of the founders of A Village, and he was one of the speakers on environmental justice. Willie, what were some of the points you were making to the crowd today?
So I just want people to know, I mean, first of all, please, let's not forget about the people at Ezra Prentice. Ezra Prentice is comprised of about 400 residents. Over half of those residents are kids under 14 years old. And they're suffering in silence down there. I basically believe it's breathing while black, because this community is largely ignored by the governor, to be honest with you. We're looking for the governor to come speak with us and talk to us about the environmental issues down there. Any sane person would know that those residents shouldn't be living in an industrial area. You have the Port of Albany there. They're right in the middle of 787, recycling plant, county waste, a thousand diesel trucks every day going through their community. The bomb train sits in their backyard. They're surrounded by toxic air. What are they breathing? Breathing while black.
Have the residents complain about particular health problems in the situation?
Constantly. As a matter of fact, when we, as a former executive director of a Village Inc., when we first embarked on a study down there, we encountered lung cancer. We encountered thyroid issues, prevalent in diabetes. Asthma rate is through the roof. There's a lot of issues down there. Residents complain, but I'd be honest with you, a lot of residents are afraid to publicly complain because they're afraid they might lose their housing. And so I understand why they stay in the background. That's why I kind of elevate my voice to become a little louder, because I'm speaking for a community down there. I truly believe that.
Now, say if the port was, you know, located a little bit south of this neighborhood, say more in, say, the town of Bethlehem, what do you think the response, would that be any different from the government officials?
Of course, because I truly believe that if this was a white community, that it wouldn't happen in there. Because I'm going to tell you, you know, when people stand up, when people who have the means to stand up, they will stand up. But a lot of people down there don't have the means because, as I stated before, they're afraid they would lose their housing. But if this was a white community, no, this would not happen in that community, especially Bethlehem. I think the port tried to expand going south into Bethlehem, and they was told no. So now the Port of Albany is saying they would gladly pitch in some money to help relocate Ezra Prentice because they want the property. They're not concerned about the people. They want the property.
Hmm. And how do residents feel about being relocated?
Well, there's a lot of mixed messages and mixed feelings down there because, a lot of them live down there most of their lives. It's a comfortable place to live. You can't see toxin in the air, so it's hard to convince some residents, but a lot of residents do want to move because they understand the impact on their health from breathing this toxic air every single day.
Now, I assume a village is still down there trying to work on particular concerns?
Yes, very much so. A village is deeply involved. We're also working with the executive director of the Radix Center, who are working with the School of Public Health to do a healthcare study down there, Dr. Stacy Pettigrew. She's doing an awesome job. She has some firm numbers. And this fight is a long way from being over. Eventually, we will get the results that is desired is for our residents at Ezra Prentice to live in a healthy community.
Now, on the off chance that Governor Cuomo in his limousine ride does manage to put on our radio station on air and listens to you, you have a short message to the governor?
Yes, Governor. To be honest with you, I voted for you because I believe you're going to do the right thing when it comes to Ezra Prentice. So please come and visit us. I mean, I was at a graduation of a couple of weeks ago, and the governor, I was actually graduating from a program, and the governor sent me a plaque. So I appreciate that plaque, but Governor, that's not enough. I need you to come and talk to the people at Ezra Prentice. They are suffering. They are dying in silence. They're suffering in silence. So please come and visit us.
And that was Willie White, and this has been Mark Dumley for Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.